Hey, Chevra, it's a very special schuss to be here. Before we begin, I want to just thank always the Shriers for opening up their bias for Torah. And as always, it should be a big schuss for only Simcha and only Bracha for the entire Mishpacha. And tonight's shir is also being sponsored, and all the Torah should be learnt. Le'il Nishmas, Sarah Bas Asher. Sarah Bas Asher is Yudit Hershkowitz's mother, whose yahrzeit was this past week. Yahrzeit was, I believe, Hey Kislev. And by yahrzeit, we know the neshama is deeply connected to the world, not just on the yahrzeit, but 3 days before and 3 days after. And this is the end of those 3 days after. And this is schus to learn neshama l'il nishmasa. Should be a big schus for her, and she'd be a melitza yasha for her beautiful family, for Ben and for Yudit. Mirz Hashem to only have simcha and bracha until we're zoiche to the Mashiach Zukeinu and Tchias HaMesim b'karav mamish. And it's a special schus to be together in this crazy weather tonight. So on the way here, I'm cheshbening, really, am I going to walk in and just learn with... At least I know Baruch Hashem, the Shriers, at least I knew would be here. I didn't even know if Sari will be here, Baruch Hashem, on a night like tonight. But it's a schus to see people who are willing to be moser nefesh for Torah in all different ways. Even just going out on a night like tonight, a lot of people want, you know, you see weather like it is, snowing and sleet and rain, and it's messy, and it's like, let's be real. It's a lot easier to just be in pajamas and be at home, and maybe if you have a fireplace, you know, sitting over there with some hot chocolate and calling it a night with, I don't know, chvesnish, with a good book, you know? It could be a very nice night. It could be a very nice evening to go and to go out, and it's an avoida and get dirty and clean off the car, and then those whose parents didn't want them driving and had to find other ways. So, you should know, the Gemara says, you learn more from your students than anyone else. And for me, to see young women who care enough about Torah and want chizik and soros in such a way was worth it enough for me to come here tonight. And it's a big chizik and it's chus for each and every one of us. And additionally, you know, we were only here, usually we meet together every other week. We were only here a few nights ago. We had shir, it was Matzei Shabbos, right? I don't even like time flies, but it's Mamish was Matzei Shabbos just a few days ago. And that also, to be together again, to learn, to grow. So Mirz Hashem, just coming here and learning together under such circumstances should be a schus for all of our beautiful families, Bez Hashem. Amen. You know, open up this week's parsha, Parshas Vayetze. And just the very first pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva ve'elech Harano. What you have is our Father. We're all B'nai Yisrael. For the first time, leaving Eretz Yisrael and going into Galus. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, he left Be'er Sheva, which is in Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to Haran, he's going to Chutz La'aretz, he's going to Galus. With the journey from Yaakov to Chutz La'aretz. And the emes is, he's going into the same Galus that we find ourselves. The same Galus of Sheker, same Galus with Taiva, same Galus with immorality. He's a world of Lavan. But Yaakov Avinu emerges in an incredible way. He emerges, as the Pasuk tells us in next week's Parashah, Lavan Garti, and Rashi famously there says, Vitaryag Mitzvah Shamarti. He emerged keeping all 630 mitzvahs from this Golus, from this journey that he starts out on this week's Parashah. He emerges Behatzlocha, he emerges with success, intact in his avodas Hashem, with all 630 mitzvahs. Mitari, Mr. Shamarti, I didn't drop one drip. I didn't drop one drop. I didn't fall at all. I was lacking in no way. Somehow, in that same environment, and therefore. Therefore, we have to follow in the footsteps of Yaakov Avinu. We have to learn from Yaakov Avinu and try to understand from Yaakov Avinu how we could be successful while we're in Galus. Unfortunately, we have to admit it. We have to know that we're in Galus. We're in Galus, even if we were in Eretz Yisrael, it's still Galus. We don't have Binyan Beis HaMikdash, and we saw this week, we were reminded, as we constantly are reminded, that even in Eretz Yisrael, we're still in Galus, with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of rockets being sent into Eretz Yisrael from the Palestinians, Yimach Shemam. And even more so, those of us who don't yet have the schus to live in Eretz Yisrael, we're in Golus. And we're surrounded by temptations, and we're surrounded by a world of sheker. And when we're in that, it's so hard to be not to be desensitized from it. And fall prey to the culture that we live in, and the society that we live in. But Yaakovin was able to do it. Yaakovin also, he was there for a long time. Longer than most of you are alive. And he was successful. So how could we be successful? We have to learn from Yaakovinu how to be successful. So how was Yaakovinu successful? So if you look, first of all, the very beginning of our parasha, very famous Rashi. And this Rashi tells us what the preparation was, what Yaakovinu did to be successful. Yaakov, the Rashi says, on the second pasuk in this week's parasha, Vayifka b'malkum v'yolon sham, when he got to that place which you know is Har Habayis, and he laid down there, Vayishkav b'malkum v'hu, so Rashi says, I'm sure you've all learned this, you'll know this. Just looking for the words of Rashi inside. So Rashi says, Ba'oso makom shachav, in that place he lied down. Aval yudal shanim shishamesh beveis Eiver lo shachav. When he was yeshiva of Eiver, shiva shem Eiver, he didn't lie down, he didn't sleep at night, b'layelo shay oisik b'torah. For 14 years he sat and learned Torah. And we know, it's very famous, Yaakov Avinu, instead of going straight to Haran, like his father told him to go get married, he was 63 years old, he stopped for 14 more years and learned Torah. And these 14 years of learning Torah was his achana, was his preparation to be able to survive and thrive in Golus. Because let's understand, Yaakov Avinu didn't just survive. And it's important that we understand that. We're not here just to survive. We're not here just to stay status quo and satiated with who we become. We're here to strive. We're here to grow. Yaakov Avinu in Golus built Klal Yisrael. Where were all his children born? Where was B'nai Yisrael, the Shiftei Ka, born? In Golus. He built Klal Yisrael in Golus. He strived. He grew. But he prepared for that with Torah. He prepared for that by having a very, very deep connection to Torah. And each and every one of us needs a deep connection to Torah. That's the first Nakuda. Nakuda Aleph is we need a deep connection to Torah and to learning Torah. And I know you're thinking, you know, maybe some of you are like reminding me, I'm by the women's shir here, I have give a men's shir later tonight. I mentioned the other day, a few weeks ago when we were learning, that shir very often is focused on Amelus B'Torah, and learning Torah, and toiling in Torah, which is the avod of a man, much more so than a woman. But each and every one of you as well. You have to have a deep connection to Torah. And to learning Torah. And to learning Torah. Every step of your life in different ways. Maybe you'll never again necessarily be learning full time the way you had the opportunity when you were in seminary in Eretz Yisrael. But that doesn't mean I can't be connected to Torah. Even if it's just a few minutes a day. Even if it's just a few minutes a day. Torah keeps us connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam and gives us the clarity, the insight, the understanding of how to survive and strive in a world full of sheker. We're in a world that spews sheker. Look around. What's important in the world that we live in? What's important in the culture, in the entertainment world that we live in? The world of sheker. You don't even know in our world when you're looking at someone if you're looking at someone real or not. You don't even know anymore. With plastic surgery and echveznes, you don't know. You look in someone's face. Is it their face? I don't know if it's their face. Maybe that's somebody else's nose, somebody else's face. I don't know. Chveznisht. You don't even know. There's such fake in the world. Such fake in the world. What someone's wearing. So you see them wearing something and it looks nice. Chveznisht. Maybe they bought something and just ironed it on themselves and made it look like it was, right? Nobody knows what's real, what's fake. You live in a world. And then the priorities of this world are so warped. Are so... The ikker is the tafel. The tafel is the ikker. In the world that we live in, which emphasizes money and fame and kavod, all that if you learn a little bit of Torah, which is the guidelines of the life we're supposed to have, is the complete antithesis of what's important. Olam deshikra, it's a world of sheker. Say, how am I not going to be influenced by that? What's going to be my guiding light? Torah! HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, which Kinyan Mitzvah Torah are. That is the light. In the darkest of times, it reminds me the way to live my life. And yes, men have a little bit more, we're not going to discuss, maybe for another time we should, and understand why that is, that men have more of a chiyuv in Talmud Torah and learning Torah Shebaal Peh for sure and Gemara. But women, you don't think you have a chiyuv to learn through Tanakh, to learn Sifrei Musar, to learn Sifrei Machshava, to learn Halacha? Who here in this room has already gone through all the Halachas that pertain to you? You're holding, every one of us, perfectly in Hilchos Shabbos. We're holding perfectly in Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Tzvila, Hilchos Tznias. We've gone through it all perfectly already. We know it all. Everybody could say we're a Bucky Kol. Even though you don't have to, you know it all. Who here is all Bucky Kol, all of Tanakh? The Gra says all women have to learn through all of Tanakh. We're holding in all of Tanakh. And we're holding, I could ask you about Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu and what's going on in those books. Tali. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. Who?
Tali.
Tali? Okay. Where's Tali? She's in the other room, Tali. I said in this room.
Holding
in all. I said in this room. That's why Tali's not here. Tali might be. Holding in Kol Sifrei Tanakh. Are we even holding well in all of Chumash? Chumash Rashi. And again, there are priorities for women for sure. Meaning, I'm going to come as a mother one day, b'shatav eslachas, and as a wife, b'shatav eslachas. And when it comes to chesed, and it comes to tefillah, and there are other important endeavors, it's not that the avod of a woman is to learn many, many hours a day, but to learn somewhat every single day, to keep us that light of Torah as our guidelines of who we are supposed to be. In fact, we all know when Sara Schneer opened up the Beis Yaakov, the first Beis Yaakov. Why did she open up the first Beis Yaakov? I'm going to read it to you. It said so well. It's something I just took the other day. She saw that there was a high rate of assimilation among girls due to the vast secular influence of the non-Jewish schools that the girls were then attending. Sarah Schneer concluded that only providing young Jewish women with a thorough, school-based Jewish education would effectively combat this phenomenon. She started a school of her own, trained the other women to teach, and set up similar schools in other cities throughout Europe. She obtained the approval of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan HaKoyim, the Chavetz Chaim, who issued a response holding that contemporary conditions required departing from traditional prohibitions on teaching women Torah and accepting the view that it was permitted. The Chavetz Chaim in their time. Do you know what was going on in the times of Chavetz Chaim 100 years ago? What the influences were compared to our time? Imagine Chavetz Chaim walking in New York City down the street. Imagine, we can't imagine, he never would. Imamish couldn't take it. He couldn't handle it. The Chavetz Chaim, imagine turning on and seeing what's on a TV, on the internet, the pressures of society in our days. So if then they felt it was important to revitalize Torah for women, how much more so for us? And if that's what we're looking in this week's parasha, and we see that that was the way Yaakov Avinu survived and strived, and that's how Yaakov Avinu was successful. So we as well. So first and foremost, Nekuda Aleph. To make sure we are learning Torah and it's a part of our lives. That wasn't just for a year of seminary or a couple classes we took in Stern. It has to be part of our life. It has to be part of life. And that's why, Baruch Hashem, obviously those of you here, that's why you come here, we're learning together. But we learn together every other week, or we've been trying maybe to switch it to once a week. We'll see if that continues. Can't judge tonight with the weather, you know. But Lameisa every day, something. And it doesn't have to be, again, it doesn't have to be for hours. It's 15 minutes a day, because I have avoided in all other achrayas, right? But that will be my light. That will be the key to ensuring that I know what is emes, and reminded what is emes. But there's something else I want to discuss tonight. That's not even what I wanted to discuss. I just think it's important. In that pasuk in parashas, next week's parasha, so we're going to go back and forth a little, because this week's parasha is when Yaakov went into Galus. Next week's parasha is when he emerges successful, as we said, in Lavan Garti. So I believe deeply, and it's not just myself, it's a sefer, I saw this based on Drash V'Ian, that very famous Rashi that you all learned and all know, of Im Lavan Garti V'Tarag Mitzvah Shemarti, that Rashi is the next key to our success. To even while we're in Galus, and even while we're in Chutz Laretz, to be completely connected to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. To be one with Hashem and be successful no matter who we're around, no matter what society or influences we're surrounded by. We all can do it. And that Rashi is the key. Let's learn that Rashi. If you look, should have handed this out, but you'll listen to me, you'll trust me. At the beginning of next week's parasha, Rashi says, on the word im lavan garti, that I lived with Lavan, which was what, again, Yaakov is telling this to Esav, to show Esav, I've been successful, I've been learning Torah, you got no chance on me. So first he says, what does garti mean, I lived? He first gives a different pshat. Garti, I lived, also means from Lashon Ger, which is a stranger, right? Lona asisi sar v'chashiv. He wants Esav to know, I never became this great officer. I never became a prominent figure. I'm a little shepherd. Elager. I'm just a stranger. I'm a nothing. Ain't Kedailis knows. He's telling Esav, it's not Kedai. It's not Shaykh. It's not befitting to hate me. Al Bircha Zavicha Shabacheni. You don't have to hate. Why did Esav hate Yaakov? Because he took the brachos. What were the brachos? You'll be great. You'll be amazing. You'll be bigger than your brother. Look at me. I'm a simple shepherd. I'm a ger. I'm a stranger. I'm a nothing. Don't be so concerned. That's pshat. That's the first pshat in Rashi, which a lot of people glance over because of the famous second pshat. That's the first pshat in Lavan Garti. I was living with God. Love, I mean, I'm just a ger. I'm just a stranger. I'm a nothing. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about the brachos. Second pshat, Dover Acher, Garti is Begematria Taryag. It's not just Gematria Taryag, it's actually the letters, right? Garti or scrambled, or exactly 613, are the letters Taryag. Klomer, as if to say, Im Lavan Arasha Garti, I lived with Lavan Arasha. I lived in the worst of society. We have it when we go out into the streets. Hopefully our house, our community, the people we surround ourselves with mostly are Bnei Torah, Bal Yerushalayim. He lived with the Lavan, and I kept his mitzvahs, I didn't learn from his ways. So we have to understand, first of all, I want to understand, are these two pshatim connected in any way? Is there a possibility that we can see Rashi, these two pshatim and Rashi are connected? But also, what is he saying to Esav? What does Esav care that he's still Ben Torah, that he's still keeping 613 mitzvahs? The first pshat, that I'm only a ger, I'm a nothing, don't be concerned. It says, you shouldn't hate me. The brachos obviously weren't chal on me. But that I kept all of Torah? What is he saying? So just to explain that first. We have to understand that the Umas Olam, and many tzaddikim say this, they start to hate us and want to get rid of us. When we start to interacting with them, and we start to act like them, and we start to be with them, then they get scared. They don't want us near them. They're scared of the Yid. When we completely keep to ourselves and we're not interacting and we're a different quote-unquote species in their eyes, let it be, it's fine. They're not as concerned. When we're not intermingled together with them. So that's what he was saying, Yaakov to Esav. Esav, you have no reason to hate me. I'm different than you. I'm keeping 613 mitzvahs. I'm separate. I'm in my little shtetl. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me so much. But not only that, we'll explain a little deeper a little bit later. But I first want to get back to understanding these two pshatim. Because these pshatim in Rashi, perhaps, are not just the answer to Esav, but are the answer to each and every one of us of how Yaakovina was successful when living by Lavan, when living in Galus as we all live, which is what we're all searching for. We want that also. How many nights do we think, I remember how I felt and how I was when I was in Eretzrol and when I am in Eretzrol, and I want to feel that way and I want to live that way, and right now, for whatever reason, I'm living here and that's where I have to be. How could I have that here? How many of us want that, are yearning for that? I want that here. And we could. Yaakov did it. Yaakov built Klal Yisrael in Haran, in Chutz Laretz. And in Lavan Garti V'Targ Mitzvah Shemarti, he did it. So how did he do it? Because if he could do it, I could do it. I'm his daughter. I'm his son. I have his chemical makeup within me. So first, again, the first Lakuta we said was through learning Torah. If I'm the same by any Torah that you learned in Eretz Yisrael, you can learn all the same books here. It's all the same books. Torah is the same. If I'm learning Torah, I can be one with Hashem and enlightened to see the MS and not fall into the praise of this world. But there's another idea here, and that's what Rashi's teaching us. Yaakov Avinu was saying he was a ger. And he wasn't just saying he was a ger to Esav, so don't be concerned with the brachos, as Rashi explained. Him being a ger was the key to his success in order to keep 613 mitzvahs as well. Meaning the second pshat in Rashi, and the Sefer Drash V'Ian explains this, the second pshat in Rashi that he kept 613, how did he do it? The first pshat in Rashi was telling us how he did it. By being a ger, by being a stranger. What does that mean? I want to explain it in two ways. First of all, it means he understood he's just passing through. He understood not to get too comfortable. He understood this is not where I'm supposed to be. This is only temporary. And even if it's for 20 years, it's temporary. I'm not going to be too comfortable here. I'm not looking to make this my home. This is just a small stop on my journey. So I'm not going to intermingle too much and interconnect too much and take from their ways, because this is not where I'm supposed to be. I have to be different. It's not my home. My home is Eretz Yisrael. My home is Yerushalayim. The way of a Yid, the way of Torah, that's who I am. And I have to remind myself that. I have to stay away in my physical dress, in the way that I speak, in how I interact. I'm different. This is not who I am. I'm not going to ever be too comfortable here. I'm not going to allow myself to ever be too comfortable here. It's true, you know, on a bigger level, that's this world and the next world, obviously, right? This world is only a corridor to the next world. As the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos teaches us, some know it famously from the beginning of the Ramchal's Mesil Shasharim. A lot of people quote it from the Mesil Shasharim. It's actually a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. That this world's only a corridor. This is a very beautiful, famous story. It's a very, very beautiful, famous story. Where there was a man who once went to visit the Chavetz Chaim. I'm sure you've heard this before, but it's worth repeating. Sometimes you gain a chizik, right? He went to visit the Chavetz Chaim. He walked into the Chavetz Chaim's house. The Chavetz Chaim had so few belongings. He had like nothing. He had a small little table and like two chairs. He didn't have a dining room table with 10 chairs like we have. And he didn't have couches. And he had the bare necessities just to live. And the man says, "Well, I feel so bad. Why do you have so small things? So few things? What's going on?" This man's holding his suitcase. He was visiting. The Chavetz Chaim says back to him, "I don't understand. Look at you! Look at you! What do you have? You have a little suitcase with a pair of pants, a shirt. You have nothing. You're calling me out?" I'm sure Chavetz Chaim didn't say it like that, but you got it, right? "You're calling me out for what I have? I have a roof over my head, I have a bed, I have a chair. You have a suitcase." And the man starts laughing. He says, Rebbe, I have a suitcase because I'm merely traveling through. This is not my home. This is not where I reside. This is not my permanent place. This is a temporary place. I'm just traveling. I'm just vacationing. I'm just visiting." Chavetz Chaim says, "Yeah, I'm only visiting also. This whole world is temporary. All this temporary stuff doesn't do it for me. I'm just traveling through. What do I need in the physical realm?" And each and every one of us has to understand that and believe that in our life as a Jew, but definitely, surely in our life in Chutlarts and in Galus, and never fall into the society that we live in. Never fall into this society to believe this is where it's at, and this is who I'm supposed to be, and this is what I'm supposed to live my life like in this way. I try always, I remember specifically, you know, we had this chus to move a couple of years ago. In Cedars, from a little bit of a smaller house to a little bit of a bigger house, we needed more room for a kinderlach, Baruch Hashem. It was a big chus. When I moved into this house, sometimes I slip, I'm not going to say I'm perfect, but sometimes I try always, you know, it's a little more of a permanent, you know, our first house we had was the main floor was okay, but like it was three tiny little bedrooms, and Kanaan are, you know, for five kids, it's not the best of situations, and it was clear that it was a temporary house, you know, it was clear that it's, you know, a so-called, quote-unquote, starter house. So-called starter house. And, you know, the hope is always you move on to a little bit of a bigger house that could be a, quote-unquote, what you call like a life house. Which then you picture yourself not only being able to raise your children comfortably there, but also being able to invite Bez Hashem, Bishatayvus, in the right time when your children get married and be able to have grandchildren and be able to have room for people, right? But I remember when we moved into this house, I knew it was important for my wife, for my family, for my children, but I was very uncomfortable with it. I still am. Because to move in Chutzlaretz to like a bigger house, to move in Chutzlaretz to like a more quote-unquote comfortable house, to move in Chutzlaretz to a more permanent house in a sense, because of dreams for the future here. What kind of dreams for the future should we have here? This is not where we're supposed to be. Halavai, achakech lo b'chol yom shiyavo. Some, like, we should make plans and move here. Okay, obviously, I believe deeply. Otherwise, I wouldn't be. This is where the Rebbe Shem wants me now, wants our family now, for what our avoid is in this world, and trying to be there for people in Chutz Laretz now. It's another discussion for another time. It's something I think about every single day of my life. That's the truth. But still, like, to have some more permanency. So one of the things I decide, I early on, and I, again, once in a while sleep, I try to only refer to my house as my house, and not to say it's my home. It's our house. It's not our home. And there's a difference between a house and a home. Because to me, a home could only be an Eretz Yisrael. Now, as far as having a beautiful mishpacha, I love my children, my wife, and it's incredible. Okay, it's amazing. Sometimes you call that, you think that's what a home is, you know? I hear that. But for me, for my own menuchas ha-nefesh, to be able to sit comfortably in the fact that we have this, I'll call it a house, and know that I don't have a home here. It's a little nuance. Again, it's a play of words. But it's something. It reminds me I'm just traveling through. It reminds me that this is not permanent. It reminds me, don't get too comfortable here. And definitely not to get too comfortable with the culture and the society that we're journeying and traveling through. Chas v'shalom. To learn from their ways and to dress like them and to speak like them. We have our Torah and we have our guidelines of proper etiquette and how to dress bitzanua and how to speak with a lashon naki. And I don't care where we end. Now, being that we are in Galus and we're Chutzlaretz, so for our own success in other ways, we have to intermingle on some level, whether it be for school, whether it be for parnasa in a job, to interact. And of course, we should be as nice as possible and be an Orla Goyim. But we have to hold ourselves to a certain standard, in a certain way. I don't lower myself, chas v'shalom. And if we're around people in school or in work or wherever it is that are talking about things that is not what a yid, what a bas torah should be talking about, I make sure to leave. And it doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable. And if they're getting together and the chmeis is just like, there's a party and everyone's eating in a particular, I don't partake. And if everyone's, you know, suddenly, you know, you go to school or work and they have a dress down day and they say tomorrow's going to be, I don't know, pajama day. And everybody you know, everyone there is going to be coming in wearing pajamas with pajama pants and a t-shirt. I'm a bas Torah, I don't do it. So I'll be the only fool that might have pajama pants with a skirt over it. And everyone's going to be looking at that strange guy and strange girl and whatever it might be, right? Okay, you know what? I'm a yid, I got the real stuff. I'm not concerned that it looks a little bit of busha in the world. And not to fool and be influenced by society and their way of dress and their way of speech and their way that they live their lives, which is so anti to what the Torah tells us, because I'm living and traveling through this place. Because let's remember, it's only temporary. I'm a ger. Don't ever forget, I'm a ger. And that will be the impetus to allow that I'm tarig matzah shemarti. If I'm a ger like Yaakov was, I'll keep kol Torah kula. You look, they just had 2 weeks ago the Shluchim convention. We're close to 6,000 Shluchim, Chabad Shluchim, throughout the world. 6,000 Shluchim from throughout the world come together and spend the Shabbos together and different learning opportunities and growing opportunities. And they have the culmination, the grand banquet. The culmination of the grand banquet. I've had the schus to go there many times. Happened to this year for various reasons. I wasn't there this year. I had a pass, so I should have gone. Whatever, it's all for another time. Doesn't matter. But Lameisa, it's an amazing event to see, to be in a room with 6,000 Jews who are Moser Nefesh 24/7 for others. And you have Shluchim go with their families to like the craziest of places. They have a roll call. If you haven't seen this ever, go online and just Google, you'll find the Chabad Shluchim roll call where they, at the dinner, announce every country where there are Shluchim. Every country, every state. They're in every state of America, and there's about 100 countries, if not more, throughout the world where there are Chabad Shluchim. Okay? There are countries I've never heard of. I maybe some of you are bigger in geography than I. Countries I've never heard of, like, you know, Kyrgyzstan. I don't know. Khmesnisht, I don't know. I don't think I even made that up. I think that's like one of them. I don't know. You think, you know, Azerbaijan, like you, and there are Jews there. Somehow there are Jews there, and there, if there are Jews there, there's going to be a Chabad Shliach there. A couple years ago, a Chabad Shliach went to Ghana with his family, set up a Chabad house in Ghana. There's a beautiful video online if you want to Google about the Chabad house in Ghana. It's a friend of mine's cousin, Moishi Majeski, lives in Lawrence, some of the Chavar might know. His cousin is the Chabad Shliach in Ghana. And he's raising his kids in Ghana. Why? Because there are Jews there. There are Israelis there for business and other things. And he's going to go and be mashbia and be makarev and be there and do chesed. But you know what's amazing? And there, these Chabad Shluchim, you've all met them. You go somewhere on vacation. How are you going to have food? How are you going to have a minion? How are you going to have a... Because there's going to be a Chabad Shliach there. You can go on business to China, to Hong Kong, to whatever. How are you going to have food? How are you going to have a minion? Chabad house. What do you mean? Anywhere. It's like incredible. Incredible, the Monsieur Snefesh. And these Chabad Shluchim are going there. Why are they not afraid to be in such a culture, in such a society? Even with all the influence that we have here in New York, we also have any moment you want, Torah and Tefillah, and you can't walk a block here without hitting a shul. They're going in the middle of the Chvesnes, you know, they're going in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know of any case, and I don't know if Chabad Shluchim, they go there, and suddenly they fall in their Yiddishkeit, and their kids are not from, and they get, everyone is mamish ben Torah b'al Yerushalayim, Tarig Mitzvah Shematri. You know why? Because when they're there, they're a ger. What do I mean they're a ger? They're not going to... You ever see a Chabad Shliach who doesn't have a beard? Again, I'm not here pushing whether you have to have a beard or not a beard. But Chabad, they hold everybody has to have a beard. And so they live in a country where people don't have a beard? It doesn't matter. I'm going to dress with, you know, the Chabad look with the hat and no jacket. I'm going to walk around with my tzitzis out and I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to dress the way I'm going to dress. It doesn't matter how everybody else dresses. It doesn't matter how everyone else speaks. It doesn't matter. I'm going to do my thing and I'll be mashbiyah on them. I'm a ger. I'm the stranger here. That's where the success is built upon. And we have to be proud to be that ger. Proud to be that ger. There's a story. I think I might have shared this story before, but whenever I think about what it is to be proud to be a Yid, no matter what, I always have such a nachas from a story from my own brother. My brother Moshe. I've shared this story before. I don't know, but I don't know if at this table. My brother Moshe. Yeah. So, the story, yeah, you remember the story?
Basketball?
Yeah, yeah. I really don't think. My brother Moshe. So he ended up, for whatever reason, in the end, for 12th grade, thank you, he ended up in Lawrence High School. And it was Lawrence High School. My brother happened to be an incredible basketball player in high school. And I mean, still, Stama still is. I haven't played with him in a long time. And he started on the Lawrence High School team. He started on the Lawrence High School team. I still remember going to games. It was hilarious because you go to games for Lawrence High School, and the other player who was a great player was an African American who was like 6'6", like jamming left and right. His name happened to be Isaiah. So he has a biblical name, and my brother's Moshe, and you hear everyone scream for Moshe and Isaiah in Lawrence High School all game. It was like... Anyways, Lamaisa. So what happened? Oh, one time, my brother, that year, when he was in that year as a senior, he went for Mincha Ma'ariv one Shabbos to Eish Kodesh in Woodmere. He went to daven Eish Kodesh for Mincha Ma'ariv. And a guy comes over to him, a guy he never met before. He says, I want to thank you so much. Because of you, I started wearing a yarmulke in the office. He says, because of you, I started wearing a yarmulke in the office. In his office, whatever profession he was, whatever it was. My brother never met the guy before. He says, what are you talking about? So the guy tells him that his sister at the time was also in Lawrence High School. And he dropped her off one day. And he sees my brother. My brother's like not like me. He got all the height in the family. So he's very tall. He's like 6'2". And he was surrounded by... his chevro, you can imagine what his chevro and Lawrence look like, you know, whatever. Maven Yavin, you know. And he sees my brother. My brother's like, you saw he was tall. And in the middle of that chevra, he's wearing his yarmulke in Lawrence High School. He's proud. He's not going to take off his yarmulke. I'm a yid. I'm a ger. And this guy said, if he saw this teenager in Lawrence High School, is proud to wear his yarmulke, has no busha, and standing up tall as a yid, he says, how could I not, in my office, wear a yarmulke? And he started wearing a yarmulke in the office. I'll tell you something. I was once telling this story years ago. I was telling this story at a shir that someone I was giving. And a man came over to me afterwards. And he says, I want you to know, that story you said about your brother, it's 100% true. So I looked at him. I said, yeah, I know it's 100% true. It's my brother. My brother told it to me, He says, no, I'm the guy in the story. I'm the guy who started wearing the yarmulke. So we all have to realize that we're a ger and be proud to be that ger. And be proud to dress like yid and speak like yid. And that's what's going to protect us. With the Torah that we're learning. And by the way, this is with the Yesod. By the way, Shem Ve'ever, where did he go to learn Torah? By Shem Ve'ever. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky has a beautiful piece where he explains that in Shiva Shem Ve'ever, what Torah did they learn in Shiva Shem Ve'ever? You know what they learned? How to be successful in Galus. Shem lived during the Dor HaMa'abel, Ever during the Dor HaFloga, the worst of environments and cultures of all of history. They knew and understood the secrets of success. That's what they taught. So that's where Yaakov went to learn before he was going to Haran for 14 years. And that's the Torah he gave over to Yosef, right? There's a very impassioned Vayeshev. It's very famous. Vayisrael, the beginning of Vayeshev. Vayisrael, that's Yosef. He loved Yosef. You know how much he loved Yosef. Ki ben zakunim hello. And Rashi says ben zakunim, Pajapshad is, he was the son of his old age, right? He was born to him much later. But Rashi says ben zakunim means he learned Torah with him. Did he not learn Torah with all his children? He learned Torah means he learned specifically this Torah. He learned this Torah of Shem Ve'ever. Because intuitively, somehow, unconsciously, Baruch HaKodesh, he knew Yosef HaTzadik is going to need this Torah. Why Yosef was the one that's going to go by himself to Mitzrayim, be surrounded by an immoral society and culture of Mitzrayim. He needs this Torah to learn how to survive and strive in Golis. So this Torah gave over to him. How long did he learn with him? So you assume he started learning with him, he was 3 years old. That's when Chinuch begins, right? When did Yosef HaTzadik leave? 17 years old, right? Pasuk tells us Beferish. 17 years old. How long did he learn with him? 14 years. How long was he by Yeshiva Shem Ve'ever learning? 14 years. The same 14 years, because he had to give over all that Torah for him to be successful. Yosef does slip at one time. But one time Yosef slips. The Pasuk says in Perek Lametes Pasuk Vav in Vayeshev, Vayi Yosef Yifei Tor Vifei Mara, he was very beautiful and cared about his appearance. And Rashi there says he started to get a little bit more into his physical looks. Right? Rashi there explains he was Mesasel Bisarecha, he was combing his hair. He was caring about that. The Sefer Devi Cheskel explains that he thought he had to start to fit in with the Egyptians. Make an Egyptian hairstyle. He thought of it lishma, by the way. The Devi Cheskel says he thought he wants to be mashpia on them in a positive way, so they have to think he's normal and one of them a little bit. He went in Latov. But it's the very next pasuk, right after he starts doing that, and starts looking like them a little bit more, and maybe appearing like them a little bit more, and not being such a ger anymore, that the very next pasuk is Vayhi Achar Dvarmeila Vatisei Shazadon Vazeinal Yosef Vatomer Shichvimi. That's when Eishes Potiphar starts throwing herself at him. That's when he starts dealing and having to deal with Eishes Potiphar. Because he started to fall in this way of being a ger. And when you start to fall in being a ger, society starts to take over you. The temptations start to get strong. And what does Eishes Potiphar grab at specifically? She's grabbing his beged. She's grabbing his clothing. He runs away, and he runs away from his beged. He leaves his beged. His beged that was Big Day Mitzrayim. He was dressing like an Egyptian. She was grabbing that, saying, "You're like us now. Come be with me." And what does he realize? He says, "I messed up." He saw the image of his father, we know. And what does he see? The image. So he saw his father. He's not really there. No, it reminds him how his father looked. His appearance, like a yid, like a ger. Not falling and looking like this society and culture. And looked at himself. Look what he's dressed in, how he's dressed. He left his clothing there, saying, "Get rid of this Mitzrayim dick of clothing. This Egyptian stuff is not for me. I need to be a ger again." And he ran away. That's our avodah. That's how all goes Mitzrayim was as well, Chevro. Every Golus is patterned after Golus Mitzrayim. The first generation that went down to Mitzrayim, the first generation, the Shvatim, had it all good. They were in Goshen living it up, because Ve'elu B'nei, what are they? Ve'elu Shmos B'nei Yisrael Habayim Mitzrayim, Pasuk says. These were the names of B'nei Yisrael Habayim, that are just coming to Mitzrayim. It's not that they came. They never felt like they arrived and they were settled. They were always just coming. They were always just visiting. So it was all good. And they had it good. And they could survive and strive in Golus. If you're only a ger, if I'm only visiting, and I don't fall into the ways of the culture of the society, what happens a few psukim later, the pasuk says, Vayir b'v'yatmu b'ma'od v'od v'atimale ha'art osam. They multiplied greatly. And the pasuk strange says, b'ma'od ma'od. It should say, ma'od ma'od. Right? It should say, Vayir b'v'yatmu ma'od ma'od. Why bimma'od ma'od? The Kliyakar says bimma'od is bimma'odecha, with their money. That they started to be involved in society a lot more. Vatimale ha'aretz, some of the pasuk says. The land was full of them, not just physically a lot more. The Medrash there says they were in the cultural centers of the Egyptians. They were going to their games, to the amphitheaters. They were walking like an Egyptian, basically. Then, vayakom el chadash amitzrayim shaloy adas Yosef. A new king comes and all of Galus Mitzrayim begins. You're not going to be a ger anymore? It's all over. Now you're pulling the culture of the society. No longer are you going to have Tarek Mitzvah Shemarti. No longer are you going to be who you're supposed to be. You're not going to survive. And then Golus Mitzrayim begins. And what does Golus always do? I heard this from Rav Shor. Golus is always here to remind us that we have to be a ger. To remind us, don't be settled so much. To remind us that I shouldn't be. This is not where homeland is. To yearn for Geula. To be back to that ger. What was the key to the Geula? Chazal teach us. The key to the Geula from Mitzrayim, Shloshina es Shemam Malvusham and Lishonam. When they wouldn't change their name, wouldn't change their clothing, wouldn't change their language. When they said, I'm a ger, I'm different than you. I'm not an Egyptian. Oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now you're ready for Geula. Now you're ready for redemption. That's our Avodah. That was the Avodah of Yaakov Avinu. The Avodah of Yaakov Avinu to be successful. The avodah of Yaakov Avinu to be successful, even in Haran, was yes, as we said, to be connected to Torah, but always to be a ger. To always make sure I'm separate. To always be honest with oneself and do chesed and nefesh. At the end of the day, what I've done today, how am I dressing, how am I talking, how am I interacting? Am I doing it as a bas Torah, as a yid, no matter what? And never with no busha. At a Talmud recently, an older Talmud, not in high school, an older Talmud, and he just finished interviews recently for like a summer job. And he got an incredible, actually the interviews were months ago already. But he found out he got an incredible job in like this really, really prominent hedge fund. Like big time. Apparently that like Mamish, not one from his college, I don't want to give too many details, but from where he was, nobody has ever got it in before. He's the first one. Okay? He's the first one. When he interviewed, he was at a different place in his Avodas Hashem. He was from Ben Torah, but he's been, over the last like 6 months, growing unbelievable. The guy is like Mamish Malach. If anyone will put together who it is, I don't want to say details, but this guy, Mamish, learning Yom Laila, growing Yom Laila. Incredible, incredible, special person. Incredible, incredible, special person. And so when he took the interview, he got advice, someone he trusts, someone he asked, someone who is someone he looks up to in both in Ruchnias and in Gashmias, a successful person who's an Eved Hashem, and he was suggested. And he decided, listen, whatever it was, not to wear a yarmulke in the interview. Because this person felt, knowing that place and whatever, that he for sure wouldn't get the job and it would be a hefsid. And I'm not getting into the halachic discussion of it right now. But that was suggested to him. And he listened to this person. And he got the job. So now he has the job. And he asked this person a few months ago, you know, when he starts the job, when he has it for the summer, should he or should he not wear a yarmulke? And the guy said to him, and apparently this guy's a real evidence, the guy said to him that for the summer, you still shouldn't. You got the job, you weren't. Don't like throw them off. If you the way it works, if they like you in the summer, then they offer you like a full-time job. Once you have a full-time job, you don't have anything to worry about anymore. And then if you'd like to, you can. That was what this guy suggested. But this Talmud of mine has been growing tremendously, Baruch Hashem, B'derech Aliyah, and he comes to me and says, Rabbi, I don't know if I feel comfortable, I don't know what I should do. I didn't know about any of these questions prior. I mean, the first time he came to me with this was at this point now. For this upcoming, again, it's not for a while, we're talking the summer, you know, but he's still, you imagine, this is what's on his mind, because it bothers him so much, and he's thinking about it, and he's growing. He wanted to know what I thought he should for this do. And I looked at him, I said, B'lis Safik, without any doubt, wear a yarmulke. Wear a yarmulke and you're not going to lose. We live in a generation where mamish, you know, people in the most prominent positions in every field are walking around in every religion wearing their garb, and it's not something looked down upon. Let's be real. Everyone knows you're a Jew, no matter what, anyways. Let's be real. And you have to believe the Ribbono Shalom has your back. And if it's a place that's going to hurt you because you're a yarmulke, you don't even want to be in such a place. And I feel very, very strongly. You have to stand up for Yiddishkeit in a strong way. Be proud to be a Jew. You'll make a Kiddush Hashem. They're going to love you, and you'll see that you might change all of their attitudes. Someone who wouldn't have towards what it is to be an Eved Hashem. Because this guy happens to be a super mensch, an incredible guy. And I said, you don't understand. It's not just forget about getting into the halachic debate of the minhag or halacha or yarmulke and all this. You don't understand. Especially you're going to be in that environment with others, and it's the biggest shmira for you. It's so easy once you don't have that yarmulke on to allow yourself to slip much more. You don't realize how important it is as well for you. You have to. It's not a question. That's what I felt. We had a longer discussion about it. But why is it? It's because of everything we're saying tonight. If we want to be successful in the world that we live in for now, in Golus, we have to be willing to be a ger. And to be a ger means sometimes I stand out. And sometimes I'm different. And I never lower myself based on society and based on culture. In how I look, in how I speak, in how I act. I'm a ger. Amir Tashem, every single one of us should be zoichet to not just survive, but strive in the Golus that we're in. To make sure that we're preparing every day with some Torah that we're learning and have that light. And that's the light we're in Kislev, is prepare for Chanukah, for the lichtige yantav of Chanukah. It's the light of Torah, that's what the neiros of Chanukah are. The Or HaGonos that's only found, right? There's a very, very deep Torah that the Or HaGonos, the hidden light that was in the world at the beginning of time, lasted for 36 hours. On Chanukah, if we take away the Shamish, which is really extra, we light 36 candles. 8 plus 7 plus 6 plus 5 plus 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 is 36, trust me. So 36 connected these 36 hours of the Or HaGonos. The Or HaGonos, this hidden light. And the Medrash says there's only one other place to find that hidden light. If you amal in Torah, if you learn Torah, Chanukah will have that light again. But it's the light of Torah. We have to have Torah in our life. And through that we'll have the Or to see clearly in how we're supposed to act. And Bezer Yom's Baruch, and be Zoicha then to be a Ger, to make sure we hold ourselves as different, hold ourselves as a stranger, recognizing that all this is just, I'm just passing by. I'm just on a vacation right now till I get. I'm not on vacation. That's a bad way of putting it. I'm just passing by the corridor, the hallway, until we get to the ultimate makom of Tchias HaMesim, of Binyan Beis HaMikdash, the Oilam HaEmes, of Geula Shlema, B'mheir of Yameinu, B'kar of Mamish. And we should have a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh, full of Simcha, full of Bracha.